This is a podcast where you don't have to be perfect. You can be happy. Make your day count. Encouraging, uplifting, full of joy. You're worth more than you think. This is entirely unconventional, and I'm Lindsay Roberts. I pray for something miraculous to happen to you today.
But I think there's a component to friendships, relationships, where you almost, it's easy to, because we're I think we're created to have connection with God. It's easy to have divine expectations on imperfect people. It's like you expect people to almost meet the need of what God is supposed to meet. So then you're looking for everybody to be everything. And I found, I don't know about you, but it's almost like God will put people in your life for a purpose.
Yeah.
And they hold a component. And yeah, they're not everything, but maybe they're that dependable person that you need in a season that's tumultuous, or it's the person that will come into your life that's overboard honest, and in that season you needed that. Maybe another season you wouldn't, but right now you value it because maybe you're going through a time where everybody's lied to you and you feel like you can trust nobody.
Yeah.
Like, I think like allowing people to be what God intends them to be in your life. Sometimes it's easy to, like, you know, you look in your, you want everybody to be your best friend and they need to check like every single box. But it's kind of like you were talking about earlier. There are people that, yeah, they'll come into that inward where you let them in on a lot of things, but just because people don't check all the boxes doesn't mean necessarily that they shouldn't be in your life. Sometimes God will have them for a specific need, and yeah, you may not have them as close. I found there's certain people, there's family members that I absolutely love, but if I'm honest, I can only handle them in doses.
Why do you think it's like the Thanksgiving meal,
right?
Where after they eat their meal, everybody falls asleep. Is that a protective mechanism?
Is it not true
that God planned all along?
Is it not true? Some people you just, it's like you love them, but you just, it's doses, right? I can't handle them all the time, but it's nothing wrong with them. I don't despise them. I actually really value them. I do value them, but I'm not expecting them to be everything.
The thing I've noticed, that I have a tendency to play that perfectionism person. Growing up as a kid, I was always that studious kid, but I was the kid that broke the curve.
Yeah.
And a 98 to me represented failure. And there was always something said about a 98 being so close to 100. Okay, that I grew up under that pressure, and if it was just self-imposed, it might have just been in my own imagination that it always had to be like that, but that's where I was. And I can remember I got a B in penmanship in third grade because the lady did not believe in giving anybody straight A's. So I was straight A's, but the only thing she could do arbitrary, you know, was give me a B in penmanship. I ended up with an ulcer in third grade at 8 years old because perfect was Jesus only. And I had to come to Jesus, and I had to recognize relationships aren't perfect. Teachers aren't perfect. Yeah. I'm not perfect. Scores aren't perfect. And it was such a devastation to me because my whole life was built that if I'm perfect, I will be a success.
And you realize that's not possible, or you realize that's not
how
it was?
No, I realized that people that had a lot of imperfections were having a whale of a lot more fun than
yeah,
I
right.
was. They had more friends. They had more this. They had more that. They had more life. You know how they always joke about C students always employing the A students? I don't know if that's true or a real statistic, but I can tell you this. My whole development was centralized on an unattainable goal. Then you know what you feel like even at a 98%? You feel like a failure.
Yeah, miserable.
Miserable. So you had to reevaluate. You have to readjust. All right, so if I'm looking for...
Before you move on, how did you reconcile that? Because I see this in self-help culture.
Yeah.
You strive so much to be better. And you want to be this. You want to be that. I got to do this. I got it. Where you can be miserable in pursuit of being good.
Yes.
How did you reconcile that?
So I didn't reconcile it for a long time until at... I don't know the age... I'm not exactly sure the age. I probably could go back and try and recall it, but there was a scripture that talked about excellence. That a character in the Bible, I believe it was Daniel, had an excellent spirit. Well, hold on. Didn't say a perfected spirit. And it hit me God is looking for excellence, not perfection.
Hmm.
Okay, what's the difference?
Right.
Excellence is when you do your very best, even if your best is a C
mm-hmm.
or a B or a, you know, if your best is singing the choir, honey, because you'll never be a soloist, yeah. which I, you know, hey, Lindsay Richards out there in front singing and dancing and, yeah. you know, and he's singing with Johnny Cash. He yeah. really was.
Yeah, Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin.
And I was not even qualified to sing in the shower. Okay, yeah. find what you can do and do what you do mm-hmm. with excellence to the mm-hmm. best of your ability. And what you can't, evaluate that and move on.
Yeah.
And for me, I recognized this was the guiding light for me. It was as though a cannon went off in my thinking and said, excellence versus perfection. With excellence, the glory goes to God. With perfection, everybody's looking at you.
Hmm.
I made it all about me.
Yeah.
My failure, my non-failure, my greatness, my terrible failure, my 98, my terrible failure, my 100, my great success, me, 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 me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I turned around and made it about God, yeah. God, what can I do to please you today? God, where would you like to put me? Is there somebody you'd like me to tutor? I was tutoring math. When I was in high school, I was tutoring college calculus. I was tutoring. I had a group of kids that I don't even know totally how I got involved in this, but one of the leaders in my school had me tutor math to a group of kids that were they were juveniles, but they were juvenile delinquents. Mm. They were, I wouldn't call it incarcerated, but kind of.
Yeah.
And it was one of the greatest experiences of my life because I got to take something and didn't make it about me.
Mm.
I got to take something and make it about them.
Mm.
That was the weirdest young kid experience I think I ever had
yeah.
when I recognized my gift is not about me.
Right.
My gift can actually make somebody feel really good about themselves. And I don't know if it's junior high or high school, but it was. I was young.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like, okay, wait, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So there's a difference in doing it excellently and doing it perfectly.
Would you think, would that, one thing I see we all do, or I've seen a lot of people do, the whole beating up on yourself thing.
Oh my goodness, I would have done this. I think I should have like a trophy for it.
What a powerful tool though, if you find yourself in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though you're disappointed in yourself, it's almost like you're also over magnifying yourself.
Yes.
In your own disappointment.
I tried to use it as motivation to be perfect.
Yeah.
When again, it was not motivation. It was what you said. It was magnification.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about me.
Yeah.
And the minute I took the magnification, whether it was a 98 or 100 or, hey, God forbid, in my case, it was an 88. Yeah. No, take all that out. Do your best. Don't use that as an excuse to be a slacker. I was never a slacker, but I know people that did use that as an excuse. Well, that's my best. No, it's not. You just didn't want to study. Okay, well, you're honest, yeah. you know. But the truth be told, ask the Lord, is there something you've given me? Even go back to my weird list here.
Yeah.
Skilled at conflict resolution. Honest and trustworthy, self-motivated, dependable and reliable, responsible, innovative. And creative. You know, it's interesting. I tend to be like really creative.
Yeah.
Like I can sit down and I'm not an artist, but I can draw things out of my head that are like, you know, if I could manufacture that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, I mean, yeah. I really am creative yeah. in stuff like that. But I never thought of it as a gift. I just right. thought of it as the way my brain works.
Well, culture calls those things soft skills. That's why,
yeah.
you know, like they almost like belittle them. Like
yes.
they're not real, but those are actually your fundamental strengths.
Funny story and cultures, Walt Disney, this is my paraphrasing yeah. of something I watched on television about him. And it was a while ago, so I'm paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
But he had who he called the engineers and the imagineers.
Mm, yeah.
Engineers carried out the task,
mm-hmm.
the detail, the mechanics of it. The Imagineers created the ideas, and they fought constantly.
Yeah.
So he made the decision to put them in the same manufacturing room mm-hmm. together. And it would be like putting two total opposites in a room that already demonstrated they can't get along.
Mm.
And instead of making it better, it made it worse until he came in. And Walt Disney, again, my paraphrasing, basically said to them, here's the deal. Without the engineers, your ideas go nowhere. Mm. But without your ideas, the engineers don't have a job.
Yeah.
Now work it out, basically get along together.
Right.
And what do you create? They created Disney.
Yeah.
Okay. I might not be the engineer. I'm more the imagineer. But without the engineer, I can't put my ideas on paper.
Yeah.
But without me, they have no ideas to put on paper. Right. And I think that's iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
I'm no more like the mechanical engineer than the man in the moon.
Yeah.
But yet I have really good ideas sometimes. Mm-hmm. All right. God put us on this earth to find that sweet spot. You know, the paralytic man, you know, maybe corner the man that carried Matt with corner number one didn't think he was important. Mm. Maybe corner number two thought he was more important. Maybe corner number three didn't even know why he was there. Maybe corner number four thought, I have no value. But you put them all together.
Yeah.
You got a man healed for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
When we put the pieces together, iron sharpens iron. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together.
Yeah.
No man is an island, the Bible talks about.
Yeah.
When you gather that all together, you may have crashed and burned. And if that's what's happened, now I'm talking figuratively, mm-hmm. find yourself somebody with a really good extinguisher.
Yeah.
If you have failed in a marriage, find somebody that understands that.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they've ever been married or failed in a marriage. Just find an Evelyn to your Oral.
Right.
And I really mean that.
Yeah.
Find, they were no more alike than the man in the moon.
The differences part, right?
But they were perfect.
Well, you think about the paralytic man. I'm sure it was nice to sit around and talk to other paralytic people because they understand what I'm going through.
But
in that situation, he didn't need another paralytic man.
They couldn't have carried him.
Yeah. He needed somebody different. He needed somebody with different strength, with different
skills. And
those
four men maybe, just maybe, never had a clue what it was like to sit on a mat and never be able to stand.
Mm, yeah.
But at the point when they connected, I have an older book, and it's called Discover Your True Worth. In Discover Your True Worth, I talked about the Gucci girls, mm-hmm. Mary, Joanna, Susanna, three women who were so unlikely to be in a room together that at that time, now listen, I don't have enough history in this to know the exacts, but at that time, I'm not even sure if it would have been legal for them to be in the room together. One of them was the wife of one of the highest politicians. Another one was the one I called hostess with the mostest. And another one was a former, we don't have total evidence of this, mm-hmm. but let's just say the way I perceived it, it was Mary Magdalene. The city she was from was known for prostitution, mm-hmm. or let's just say known for ladies of the night, or however you want to say it. Right. Did I ever see her commit the act? No. Yeah. So therefore, I'm not going to try and speculate. AI was there. But the truth be told, that is the story that is alluded to. Mm-hmm. Could that woman realistically, and oh, by the way, seven demons were cast out of her. Mm-hmm. Could that woman realistically be in the house of the vice president? Mm. I mean, even if it wasn't illegal, was it logical?
Right.
And yet you've got these three women that Jesus called women of substance.
Right.
That he traveled with. And the substance word actually translates, it translates in a couple ways, but it mainly means money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I bet the wife of the vice president got her money one way, and a woman who might have been a woman of the evening might have gotten hers another way.
Another way.
But I can't say that.
Yeah.
All I know is when that woman had seven demons cast out of her, and she got a glimpse of who Jesus was, and the other two women got a glimpse of who Jesus was, all the other visual didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The value.
Yeah.
Was they saw they had something to give to Jesus to allow him to do what he was called to do.
Mm.
Sometimes I think we forget that our value might not be what other people value.
No, yeah.
But it might be what God values.
Right.
God needed four strong men to carry the paralytic to Jesus.
Yeah.
We just have to get things into perspective.
Right.
And you know what? all things considered, I might not have been strong enough to carry him.
Yeah.
But maybe I could have done something else.
Something else.
I mean, there's always a job, a calling, a place God has for us.
Yeah.
But if we're listening to the wrong voices, I call it voices and choices. If you're listening to the wrong voices, you might just make the wrong choice.
Right.
But if you're listening to the voice of God, I believe he'll make those choices available. You got to take it.
Right.
But I believe he'll make it available.
And valuing and making the choice in a culture that values visuals.
Yes.
To be somebody different.
Yes.
And to, I think, remind yourself what really matters, that maybe your season may not be flashy, but that doesn't mean that it isn't fruitful.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's more things happening. I see it all the time. I mean, it happens to me in my own life. I'm a single dad with three kids.
Yeah.
There's certain days where it's a tough day and you run into that one person and it's not even a spiritual statement that they make. It may be a joke or a smile or just
or
a
even
comment.
Buying your coffee in the car.
The littlest things.
When you could have bought your own coffee.
Could have bought it. But there's something that happens and those individuals don't even know the impact that they if I told them, it wouldn't resonate with the reality of what I feel. And so I think there's that component that's so important. Like your values, they have to transcend the visuals because really there's more happening than you think.
One time I used to laugh and say, Calgon, take me away. With three small children and a full-time job and Oral Roberts for a father-in-law, Richard Roberts for a husband, a live daily television program. You can go and name anything. All those individually and collectively are overwhelming. And the one thing I always wanted was like, I used to ask the Lord, can I have just like 2 extra hours in the day? But you know, he never changed it. Mm. Time never became 26 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I decided one time, I'm going to find moms that are overwhelmed and I'm going to sow in the way that I would like to reap. And I had a friend who had a bunch of little kids, and I said, I'll give you an hour. I've got an hour. Would you like to do whatever you want to do? I don't care if it's get coffee, go through, drive through. And she said, you know what I really want to do? I was really excited to hear what that was going to be. And I said, what? She said, I want to go to the grocery store by myself and take my time and look up and down the aisles. I said, book it. Mm-hmm. And she went to the grocery store for 1 hour. Now, you know what? It didn't cost me anything.
Yeah.
I had a lovely time with her kids. She had a lovely time going up and down the aisles. And everything was fine. But you know what? I had no idea what that meant to her. Mm. I know what it would have meant to me. And so I think if we'll just ask the Lord, it doesn't have to be $1 million. Although if anyone would like to hand me that, hey, I'm available here. But the bottom line was, you know, sometimes it's cute to have somebody give me a cup of coffee in the coffee line.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's really nice to have an extra hour to go to the grocery store. My daughter told me the other day, she was babysitting for a friend of hers who has two little kiddos. And her parents are a little bit older, and one of them had just had surgery. So she was coming home from work, taking care of the parents, doing this, doing that, and all in between. And she called me, and she said, Mom, I can't talk very long. And she said, I made their dinner. And she said, I'm getting the boys all set and getting everything, blah, blah. And I said, what is that noise? She said, oh, I'm doing the dishes and cleaning the house.
Mm.
Those doing the dishes and cleaning the house to an overwhelmed single mom.
Yeah.
I know when she walked in that door what she was going to feel like.
Yeah.
Sometimes the things we don't even realize, carrying one corner of a mat to get a person to Jesus.
Yeah.
Can make all the difference, honestly, for the rest of his life.
Especially as Christians, because I think there's this pressure to feel like you have to be preaching to have a purpose. And it's like, sometimes it's the simple
things. Bake a pie.
Sometimes honestly, it's the most spiritual thing sometimes you can do.
Bake a pie.
Yeah.
My grandmother used to go to what she called the older folks' home and pray for the older folks.
Mm.
She was older than most of the people there.
Really?
But she felt like that was important.
Yeah.
And she'd go to the older folks' home. And I'd giggle and I'd think, you know, it's the grace of God. You're not in the older folks' home.
Yeah.
But she was happy and she was healthy. She could drive. She could do what she wanted. So she felt like, okay, I'm not in the older folks' home, so I will go do something nice for the older folks in the older folks' home. And she did all the time. Sometimes it's listening to God and being obedient. And I'll tell you what, we don't even have to see the immediate results. What you do to the least of these, listen, Nick, I can give you a big, long list of people who might qualify as the least of these. But he said, if you'll do it to the least of these, do it as though you're doing it unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And there are times when I have said, Lord, I would do this grudgingly if it hadn't been for that verse, but I'm doing this unto you.
Yeah.
And you know, I may never have even gotten a thank you out of it, but I know God saw it.
Yeah.
So just do what makes you believe that you made God happy that day.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Entirely Unconventional. If it impacted you, please consider leaving a review and giving it a 5-star rating. To order Lindsay's new book, Discover Your True Strength, visit discoveryourtruestrength.com. To connect with Lindsay on social media, you can find her at Lindsay Roberts Official. See you next week.